2 months after the Trump administration was ordered to reunite every migrant family separated at the U.S.-Mexico border, more than 400 families remain separated. USA Today immigration reporter Alan Gomez joins us now with more on this story. Hi, Alan.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
And is there a path for getting those remaining families back together?
It appears that there is in many of these cases. The two sides, the government lawyers and the ACLU attorneys and their team of volunteers on the ground in Central America have been working overtime in recent weeks and are going to continue to do so. And they, both sides, expect this process to be done, they say, now within a few more weeks. I mean, it's been more than 2 months since the judge first ordered this, so it's taken some time, but during a hearing last week, they both sounded like they were pretty confident and pretty excited that they were approaching the finish line.
And for those families that are still not reunited with each other, the parents in many cases have applied for asylum, and some of them were denied asylum.
Exactly. And so now we have a very, they're getting close to finishing that connection of reestablishing contact between all of the separated families. But now we have multiple things that will start. In one case, the judge has ordered that as many as 1,000 of these cases need to be reexamined. They need to do the asylum application all over again because, as the judge ruled, they were separated at the time, so it's kind of hard to make your case for asylum when your child's not there. And so in a lot of these cases, we're starting from scratch. They're going to start over, go through the initial interview again, and to determine if there is a, quote, credible fear that they fear returning to their home country. But for others, it's just a matter of just finalizing the process of either reuniting them with their families or just agreeing to be separated. It's a lot of moving parts, and it's all going on at the same time.
Do they really have a better shot of getting asylum this time around?
I don't know if they have a better shot. They do have a shot. There was an agreement brokered between the government and the ACLU attorneys who filed this suit, ordering that they have to do this. And one of the things that the government has to do now is they must consider the, quote, psychological state of the parent at the time of their initial interview. And that's legalese for they were pretty traumatized because their children had been taken away from them. In this case, unlike the first time around, a lawyer must be present or they must have the opportunity to have a lawyer either in person or on the telephone. Unlike before, even deported parents are going to be allowed to testify by phone and in some extreme cases may be allowed to return to the U.S. to do so in person. So there's a lot of factors that are building up in favor of these families to get a better hearing, but it remains unclear whether that will lead to, you know, hundreds of overturned cases and they suddenly all get allowed to stay, or if it's going to be the same result just with a fairer and a more robust process behind it.
Meanwhile, the latest Customs and Border Protection data show that dramatically more families are arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border, but the Trump administration is standing by its zero-tolerance policy. Here is Attorney General Jeff Sessions speaking earlier this month.
No great and prosperous nation can have both a generous welfare system and great prosperity and open borders. Such a policy is both radical, it's dangerous.
So is the surge of border arrests a sign that zero-tolerance is not working, that people are still trying to come here?
The original intent behind all of this, family separations, the zero tolerance policy, was to deter people from coming. Now we're seeing record numbers of families coming over. So if you just draw that straight line, it appears that it is not working. You know, people throughout Central America, trust me, they follow all these developments very closely. And so they're aware of the public, of the family separations. They hear Attorney General Sessions' comments, but they're still coming in record numbers. We were speaking with the Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection just last week, and he said for the first time, more than 50% of the people being apprehended along the border are family units. Traditionally in the U.S., it's been single adults coming mostly from Mexico and in some cases Central America. But this wave has only continued to increase. So we don't see any slowdown whatsoever. And now it's a question of whether the administration tries to do anything else to deter them from coming.
How do you make sense of that there are so many family units coming?
I mean, it's really difficult to tell because on the one hand, they're aware of the fact that a federal judge has thrown out the family separation portion of this. So that might indicate to them, hey, we got a shot. But as somebody who's been in Central America quite a bit and visited these places in Honduras and El Salvador, and I've seen firsthand just how omnipresent that threat of violence is down there. And talking to so many of these people who are coming from those countries, it's very clear that a lot of them really do fear for their lives that much in their home countries. The Trump administration will tell you that most of these are frauds, so these are just people trying to sneak into the country any way that they can. But I've just heard the same story from too many people and seen it firsthand too often to completely disregard the fact that a lot of these people are truly, truly terrified for staying in their home countries and are coming here to try to just get some basic level of security.
There's one more thing I want to ask you about. The Department of Homeland Security issued a draft rule over the weekend that would restrict green cards for people who are accepting public assistance like food stamps or Section 8 vouchers. Now, this is subject to a 60-day review period, but tell us more about this and what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, we spend so much time talking about the Trump administration's crackdown on illegal immigration that sometimes it's hard to see just how many ways they're trying to limit legal immigration as well. And this is one of those cases, and a massive one, because this could end up affecting millions of people trying to enter this country. In short, before, and it's been longstanding U.S. policy, that someone who's deemed a public charge cannot be admitted into the country for a green card, and that was defined as somebody who was primarily dependent on the government to survive in this country. What this new rule would do is say if you've accepted any public benefits in the past, now, or in the future, you are likely to become a public charge, and so you do not get your green card and you do not get your extension for visas and things like that. So before, if you received cash from the government in the form of like Social Security, that would disqualify you. Now, if you use food stamps, Section 8 housing, other federal housing assistance, Medicare Part D, if you use any sort of government assistance moving forward, you will likely be deemed inadmissible. Mm-hmm. Like you said, this is something that's going to be several months before it goes into effect, but just the fact that they've proposed this rule has thrown immigration advocacy groups, they're all very nervous right now about what this could mean for the future of millions of people trying to get into this country.
Alan, we are just weeks away from the midterm elections. What's your sense, based on your reporting, of where Latinos stand right now? Are they preparing to go out and vote in one direction or the other? Are they really angered by the family separation policy, et cetera?
Any immigrant who's been in this country for multiple generations is going to view something like illegal immigration as something to be suspicious about. But what's changed in the past year under this administration is that they've gone after so many avenues of legal immigration. So trying to reduce things like the refugee program, the asylum process, and those family separations were something that really, really inflamed groups that have traditionally, I've spoken to, been very supportive of efforts to crack down on illegal immigration. But when they saw that, they said, okay, that's a really big step too far. And I think it really kind of inflamed a lot of folks, both Latin voters and just regular American voters and white voters and native-born voters, to really get them upset at that policy. That's really kind of been an eyebrow raiser for a lot of moderate supporters of the president's agenda. And the more he does when it comes to refugees, when it comes to asylum seekers, a lot of folks I've spoken to have said, hey, I signed up for a border wall. I signed up for trying to cut down on illegal immigration, but I didn't sign up for all this other stuff. So I think that's what's really getting a lot of people upset. And I'm hearing a lot more enthusiasm to get out there and vote.
Because traditionally, Latinos tend not to vote in as big numbers as they represent in the country, right?
Exactly. Hispanics have always underperformed compared to white voters, compared to black voters, even when there are big topics of immigration in an election year. But in this year, we have so many things lined up. We have the president still trying to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA. We have the family separation crisis over the summer. We had the travel ban last year. They've done so many big things that Republicans believe, or at least the Trump administration believes, are winning issues, are things that are going to drive more Republicans out to the polls. But the more of them that they do, they also risk getting more Democrats out to the polls and more moderates going out and voting against them because of how many things they're trying to do.
It's Alan Gomez, immigration reporter for USA Today. Alan, thank you.
Jeremy, thanks for having me.